The Fan on Demand. Bob the Conqueror. Bob the Absolute. Bob the Infallible. Bob the Keeper of Pet Roosters. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Wait for it. Here it comes. There it is. Now we can go. Can't go before the hay. It's Wednesday, hump day, the 17th of September, 2014, and it's Primetime Sports on your radio, on your television. It's Canada's most listened to sports talk show. I'm Bob McCown. That's Ken Reed over there for the second consecutive day.
Sorry, Bob.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to them.
Sorry, guys.
And Brian Cooper's not supposed to be here, but he slid in early because he wants to leave early. So we'll accommodate him.
I want to stay here as long as you want me.
You would have left 5 minutes ago.
No. I wouldn't be in the chair.
Robbie Alomar will join us later. Arash Madani will join us later. Glenn Healy. Really? And now he's a Rogers boy. And Darren Marshall of Revolution Sports Marketing. We're going to talk about the NFL's brand, what's happening to it.
We don't need Darren.
No, you're on in the first hour. He's on in the big hour.
Oh, in the big hour.
Okay. At the end, right?
He's apparently got a job.
I guess he does. I don't think we've ever had Darren on before. But we'll talk a little bit about it. We can talk about it with you. Well, we were going to talk about football with you and some other things.
Down set.
Where do you think the Toronto Argonauts will wind up? What happens to this franchise over the next 2 years? Let me preface before you start in. Let me preface by saying, I think we all understand that in the years, the decades of watching this franchise from an ownership perspective, you were the former president of the Toronto Argonauts. A lot of things have been tried. Some things worked, some things didn't work. But there was always a light at the end of the tunnel. There was never an end in sight, never an obvious a roadblock so big. Maybe you didn't believe the team would be able to get over it, but it was possible theoretically. We are now approaching an end game here. If the Toronto Blue Jays put grass in the dome in 2017, the Toronto Argonauts right now have nowhere to go. They're not playing there, and they have nowhere else. The owner, although he reaped great profits from the Grey Cup, thanks to our government, who still haven't come clean, by the way, on that whole deal. Well, neither has Braley. But he's bleeding pretty good. He's got to be losing $6, $7 million a year. And as rich as he is, I don't think he wants to do that forever and ever, and amen. So there's a possible end to this. A solution has to be found, and there's a deadline. Never been a deadline before. Now there's a deadline. Are they dead?
Well, you know what? First of all, I don't think the P&L of the Toronto Argonauts has changed since I was there. I think there's red ink every year, no matter what. Whether you're saying it's $6 or $7 million, I don't think it's that much. It's probably closer to $3 or $4 million. You know, when we had McNall and Gretzky and Candy in the ownership group, and we had a lot of star power, and we had a lot of entertainment. And at that point in time, I think the minds of Torontonians changed in terms of, I think I'm going to give this entertainment option a try, and went out to the games. So ticket sales were there. We also had a much larger salary base with Rocket Ishmael, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I think throughout the years, there's always been red ink. I think David Braley may have made money, and I know he made money during those two Grey Cups.
But he made money because of the Grey Cups.
Without a doubt. But still, he's bleeding, without a doubt. I think that there will be a Toronto Argonauts in this marketplace. I think a solution has not come forth, and I'm not saying I have the solution. I think if you look at what had happened to Montreal before Larry Smith went there, Montreal was a dying franchise in a community that had they'd lost a generation of fans. They were playing in a worse stadium than the Argos are playing in terms of football. And they made a drastic move. They went into a university stadium that at the time, Bob, and I don't recall what the numbers, it may have been 13,000.
Yeah, it's fair to say, it was not a stroke of genius. It was an accident.
It was a fortuitous accident because it right-sized to the fan base that they had, the hardcore fan base that they had in that marketplace. It then became a sold out situation at 13,000, and sellouts has other sellouts. So it became a tough ticket to get, and it became a party. Mm-hmm. It became a party because a lot of the students there as well. But it also became a competitive football club. It was the beginning of the Cavillo era. And so I think what has to happen here is something drastic. And that and everything has been tried through the various owners that we've had. Everything has been tried from the Gretzky McNeil with all the entertainment and the brand value that can be transferred from those names, Candy and Gretzky, to when Keith was running it. And, there's a lot of excitement, new ownership group at that time. Those guys were willing to try. Little did we know, David was in there at that point in time as well. But they tried a lot of different things in terms of marketing, doing a lot of community service, and they've been doing that for years. The only thing that hasn't changed is the venue and right-sizing of the capacity of the venue. I don't know where it is, whether it's a Centennial Park or it's a, I'll give you an example of what Hamilton did in Guelph, and it was temporary stands. Is there an opportunity in this marketplace or a location in this marketplace that they can do the same? I agree with you that they're running out of options. On top of the location change, which will bring, by the way, the cost down significantly. Their cost base is way too high for the size of the revenues they're receiving from tickets. I think that they need to put their brand out in a different manner than they are now. So location is the only thing that has not changed over those years. Every single thing.
Well, we grant you that location is the issue. A place to play is the issue.
So,
but you have to come up with a resolution. And the only resolution that has been floated at all is BMO, and that is not happening now. MLSC is no longer interested in the Toronto Argonauts. That ship already sailed. BMO, if it does undergo renovations, won't expand to fit the Toronto Argonauts.
You know what? I don't think that's completely dead yet. I don't think it's completely
dead. I think the renovation isn't, for sure.
I think that may be an option.
You got to rip down one end of the stands.
I agree, but it may be not the grand renovation that they were looking for. It may be a modified version. I still believe the Argonauts are going to be in this marketplace. And, we talk about, what it does, but what does it do to the league? And from a sponsor's perspective, you in a nine-team league, you have to have this market. Have to. Then they are not, a national brand is not going to say, yeah, great, we're going to buy the whole league, but we're carving out the biggest portion of this Canadian market.
We were talking about how the NFL survives without LA. Couldn't the CFL survive without Toronto? Say they put a team in Quebec City, they play at Laval, they got a rabid fan base.
The NFL survives without LA because they have 32 teams. Mm-hmm. Not in a nine-team league that the majority of sponsors are looking for the major market. And by the way, Torontonians may not go out to the games in numbers, but they watch it. The television numbers are still there.
Torontonians watch non-Argo games?
I think they watch Saskatchewan or Edmonton. Yes, they do. Well, it does matter because they will watch, preferably they'll watch the Argos, especially if they're competitive.
Do they, when I see the numbers for CFL games, they're huge. Say Saskatchewan plays Toronto, but I always wonder how many of those eyeballs are from Toronto and how many are from Saskatchewan. Or Toronto plays Edmonton. How many of those eyeballs are from Edmonton?
Toronto, Hamilton. Toronto? I mean, look, they're in the mix. You take that out, it's going to be a significant drop. And so, you know, from the broadcast perspective, from a sponsorship perspective, and also the optics of it.
So if MLSE was still in the hunt for this team and they buy it, are they just buying it to take the loss? And
They're not in the hunt. They're not interested.
Okay, so then who is out there?
Brayley's going to throw the keys on the table eventually, and the league's going to have to deal with
it. Brian, is there anybody out there that can be the White Knight, ride in and save the day here?
You know, it may be someone from outside of the Canadian marketplace. It may be someone that, you know, look, there. You know, what you see with sport team owners is they've done tremendously well in their industry. They make zippers, and they, you know, at the zipper convention, they're the king. No one else knows them. They're wondering why, even though they're loaded with Jack. And all of a sudden, they own a sports team, and everybody knows your name. Larry Tannenbaum, for example. Larry's, you know, paving the world, and it was, you know, the best in the business. And when he took ownership of MLS&E, even though minority share, everyone knows his name.
But is this one of those sexy teams to own, or is this a team that's on its last legs?
You know, there's an entry level for everybody, and everyone believes that they can turn it around. Every smart businessman thinks, I know how to do this. In fact, I got a phone call today based on an article that I was mentioned in from someone saying, you know, I'd like to talk to you about the finances of the Argos, not because of my background.
If somebody came to you and said, Brian, we want you to go back and be president of the Toronto Argonauts again, because we think, you know, you're the guy to fix it. Can you fix it? Would you go back in that job?
No.
Because you've been in there, and you know what you can't
do. No, not in the present location, without a doubt.
Well, absent a $400 million stadium, you're going to either be playing...
Bob, that's the key. You have to right-size the stadium to match the fan base, and then the
optics...
Yeah,
but even BMO at $80 million or $90 million... And I haven't been there, so I'm operating secondhand.
But they're not putting. This is going to be. They're going to lease like they are.
BMO's a hole, though. It's an ordinary. It has no amenities. It's not a nice place to go.
Go to Montreal. It's a hole.
I get that.
But it is a packed hole, and it is a party at every game that you go to.
Yeah, but if you build another stadium, if you build.
I'm not saying a new build. I'm saying they're going to do some type of retrofit in some existing property right now. There aren't a lot out there. We haven't done the landscape analysis of what the possibilities would be.
That's what I was going to ask. Who would pay for it?
Who's going to pay for that?
And that's where I think there's going to have to be some private-public partnership.
There's going to be no public partnership. There's going to be no public partnership.
Well, you know what?
That ship has sailed, and I'll tell you why. Because the federal government has a policy in place now that they are not giving
could
any
be
more.
The city of Toronto could be Tourism Toronto that's going to give $3 million a year to pay for the rent.
City of Toronto hasn't got that kind of money. Even $3 million.
None of them have that type of money.
Well,
but they do these things. Pan Am Games.
The feds and the province. Well, that's another thing. Wait till the bill comes in for the Pan Am Games.
Well, but
I got
news
for you. They're going to be more cautious about spending.
My point is that they do these things, and that I think that someone may come forward that, you know, wants to invest and sees the potential, and he's going to look for some type of partnership. Also, I don't think the BMO thing is dead. I think for MLS&E, they need to expand it anyway, and this is a way to mitigate the carrying cost of doing that.
Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons it's dead. Because you have to rip down the end zone. That's an additional cost that has never been factored into the equation. Right now they're talking about building up, adding amenities, and putting a roof over the stands.
Right.
They're not talking about knocking down one end and expanding it, which they have to do. You're adding probably $50 million to the cost if you do that.
You know, first of all, I don't think it's $50 million to do
that.
And you and I are both not in construction.
Well, I built some things.
Yeah, I know. I've sat on that chair and fell.
I just had a big I've seen construction firsthand in my backyard.
Yeah,
I
that's know, what I mean.
And,
yeah.
And if my backyard costs what it costs, I got news for you. Knocking down the end of that thing and building a new one is going to cost $50 million.
No, it isn't. I think they're going to be in this marketplace.
Well,
I do.
You're crazy as a loon. Then.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I firmly believe that.
Well, you may want to see if you can get a second opinion.
The league cannot see this fail. The league and all those other owners cannot see this fail. They're going to bring their influence to bear, whether it's friends or within their
network.
Well,
they're going to have to pony up.
They may get a sweetheart deal from the league.
They're going to have to pony up, and each franchise is going to have to kick about $1 million a year in. And
Bob, I'll tell you, each one of those franchises will lose $1 million. I got to tell you, you think the television broadcast contract in place right now considers not having Toronto as part of that broadcast?
Well, unless Phil King's a complete idiot, who's the president of CTV, and we know he's not. He's a pal of ours.
Right.
We know he's a bright guy. He's got a clause in that contract that says if there's no Toronto team, we start over.
Yeah, there may be a kicker if there's going to be additional teams added, more money for the league, but they're definitely, you know, they don't contemplate losing the major market.
Brian, the one thing you said is that people care and people watch. I just don't see people caring about the CFL. People that are my age, there's no buzz, there's no talk about it. And go up to Edmonton. Well, I was just going to say, having worked in Edmonton and in Calgary, it was there, and it was the place to be on a Friday night, to go to McMahon Stadium. But in Toronto, it's just not there.
It isn't. But there is a hardcore, and I'm saying it's probably about 13,000 people, and you have to build from that. And I don't think that, you know, that hasn't been done in other sports, in other situations, where they had to right-size their group. Look, MLS soccer is the same thing. They're building stadiums that hold 15 to 20,000 because they know if they build 50,000, it's going to look the optics. No one wants to buy a ticket when they look on television and see the place is empty. It's section night. You can have your own section. Mm-hmm. And that turns people off. It's an ego thing.
We get what the size of the stadium, Brian. We all are on the same page with that. It needs to be around 25,000 seats. Who's building it? Hamilton is spending $150 million for their stadium, which they couldn't finish on time, and we haven't seen the bill yet. My guess is it'll probably be closer to $200 million.
I still think something from BMO will be worked out.
Wow.
I do not think this place is going to lose this tradition.
I don't think the
entertainment value is still good. And granted, they've lost a generation, I still think something will be worked out. If you had
the cake and you were MLSE, would you pay $10 million for the Toronto Argonauts?
No.
Would you knock down an indoor stadium and screw your with your soccer fans?
If I got the team at a
would you screw with your soccer fans? Because you know there's going to be a huge pushback.
They're screwing with their soccer fans by not, you know, for the last 8 years.
I get that.
You can't screw with them anymore. And so,
well, but they're going to. If they put football in there, soccer fans are going to go berserk.
Now, you know what? There may be an immediate negative reaction. I don't think so. If they accommodate and make
crazy.
That on the game day experience for soccer, if it's nothing less than what they have today, I don't think there's going to be a backlash to it.
What are you looking at?
Are you buying any of this?
And
all due respect, Brian, I just don't see how they make it happen because they're stuck in that stadium, and I don't see anybody throwing in the coin to build one. I just don't see how it can happen. But maybe I'm not as an optimistic a guy. I don't know.
I mean, the two things that I've thrown out, one I think is not going to happen. The other one I have no idea. And I'm trying to find answers. I don't see a location or a motivation to build a facility in Toronto. I don't think there's any chance of BMO. I don't think there's any chance of BMO. I think the Mississauga boat has sailed. I don't think Mississauga doesn't have a whole lot of undeveloped land in the core left, first of all. And secondly, they've had like four or five different owners of junior hockey teams there. It hasn't worked. Mississauga, and I used to live there, it's a very nice place, but it doesn't have its own identity. It isn't it's a city, but it doesn't have its own identity as a city.
Bedroom community.
People think of themselves as Torontonians.
Bob, the
only place left is Vaughan. And I don't know if Vaughan has the do-re-mi.
This is Foxborough? You think this is a Foxborough situation?
Well, but wait.
That's not happening.
Well, why?
Because I don't think you're going to get those fans that are hardcore fans traveling up to Vaughan. Now it's a new start.
I don't care. There aren't enough hardcore fans for me to worry about it.
There's 13,000 people coming out and paying for those tickets. Guaranteed. 13,000.
They've had a few games of less than 13,000.
Okay. But it's around that number.
I think you're high. I think their season ticket base is like 4.
Each buying 2. And then walk up.
Well, no, I mean 4,000 tickets.
I don't think that.
Well, I do. That's what I'm hearing. It's around 4,000.
Well, you may be more informed than I am on it.
I don't think the ticket base is there. I wouldn't worry about the fans. I mean, I'm with due respect to those who've continued to go. I don't think there's enough of them to worry about.
So let's say it happens.
If you're going to appease those 4,000.
Apocalypse pass and happens and there is no team in Toronto.
Right.
What do you see for the CFL?
I think the real interesting question is the one you raised, and that is how does TSN respond in terms of the economics of their TV deal?
So they say, we're not paying that money, okay. So the other teams now lose that money, so...
Wait. I think the first step here is what happens to the TV numbers? You believe they'll tumble. I'm less convinced. I'm not saying they wouldn't go down, but I'm not sure they'll go down a real significant amount. So the take back from TSN might ultimately be nominal. It might be nominal. It might be 5%, maybe 10%. It might not be any more than that, Brian.
Let me tell you, as from a sponsorship perspective, I'm Procter & Gamble or I'm Chevy or whoever they have as the auto. The league is pitching me and they're saying, we have all these great teams, great attendance, but we don't have Toronto. As a brand manager... As a corporation, the conversation ends. It's the biggest market in this.
But why would it end? Because right now they kind of Toronto
not getting much out of it anyway.
Well, they're getting a television audience out of it, and it's also the perception. It's also the optics.
You know, I see that. I think probably the NFL had the same concerns about Los Angeles. And yes, I grant you, it's. Not the biggest market. It was the second biggest market, and they have 32 teams.
They have 32 teams to carry.
Nine. I get all that. I think there's validity in all of what you say. And I'm not saying that sponsors wouldn't, they're going to lose money on sponsorship. But at this point,
they're going to lose money.
Absent, not only somebody who's willing to pay Braley for the franchise, and I wouldn't pay him a nickel. I wouldn't pay him 5 cents for the franchise. I don't think it's worth that. He'd have to pay me to take it off his hands, and he'd have to pay me about $20 million because I'm going to amortize that over the next 4 years because I'm going to lose $5 million a year, no matter how smart I am. And I'm pretty smart.
Oh, really?
So in the absence of a new stadium, there is nowhere for this team to play and no owner for this team. The league can take it over, but only for a short period of time, and it still doesn't solve the where are you going to play problem. That's why I'm saying, hey. Brian, I go back to what I said 22 minutes ago. We are at a point with this franchise that we've never been at before.
Agree.
We have had
agree.
Crisis after crisis, ownership change after ownership change. Good owners, not so good owners.
Are we talking MLS any, or are we talking the Argonauts?
No, we're talking the Argonauts.
Oh, okay. You're talking about ownership, so.
Well, that's another one, too. That's pretty much the same scenario. But there was never, that wall was never there. There was always a doorway. You didn't know if you could get through it, but there was always a door. You thought there was a doorway.
The venue was always there. And what has changed is the potential of not having a venue is there.
Look, I remember like it was yesterday. And Brian was became the president of the Argonauts when Candy and McNall and Gretzky bought the team. And the first night... the Blues Brothers played. McNall had his plane come in with all kinds of Hollywood celebs.
Mariel Hemingway
was there. Who knows who else? And I went. It was 45,000 people, and I'm there. And I went on the air the next Monday, and I said, "You better get your." And you had a game the next week. Mm-hmm. You had two home games. I said, "You better get your tickets right now." Because every one of those 45,000 is going to go back. It was one of the best parties I've ever seen. And a great football game was Rocket Ismail. But you better get your tickets because those 45 are coming back and they're going to tell their friends. How many did you get the next week?
Oh, we got 45.
No, I didn't.
Yeah?
I'd like you to look that up.
Okay.
I'll bet you did less than 40. I'm positive you did like 37.
Well, opening night, we probably took a little bit of a dip. Look, but we were undefeated that season. We had excitement. I think our average audience must have been mid-30s throughout the season.
Yeah, it might have been. But I thought you'd do 50. I thought you'd do 50. It was a sign. And it was a sign that that no matter you there's nothing you can give these people.
Well,
the city of there aren't enough fans out there. No matter what you give them, they're just not interested in this product.
I know you guys are both going to yell at me, but and I know it's been looked at, Brian. But you said you know it wouldn't work in Vaughan, and it's 13,000. You're kind of going off this Montreal model. Why couldn't it work just up the street? Is it the U of T, this field up here?
And no, you can't do it.
I know you're both going to say you can't do it, but how can you not just put 15,000 temporary stands?
No, that
up
actually
there?
Had been talked about.
Yeah, so why can't you do that? Because that gets people
some
to the downtown
serious discussions
core
about that.
U of T has no interest in it.
Yeah,
and
but you know what? You never know. Look, I don't think they've gone through the process of exhausting every opportunity in this marketplace. I think, you know, now they have a deadline. They're going to be out there. Brayley wants to move out. There'll be a new owner that emerges. The league, believe me, the league and every owner, they had, an emergency call and saying, okay, what are we going to do? Who do we know to bring into the fold?
Right. So what does that stadium hold now chance at U of T? 5,000, 6,000?
Yeah, 5,000.
So...
No temporary chance stands all over
they
the place.
They made a temporary stadium in
12,000.
In Moncton.
There's another good example.
Yeah, for 13.
But there's another good example. And 10, that's where it should 10 be. But that's where it should be, Bob.
What?
That's where it should be.
At U of T?
No. That at 13,000, maybe 10.
You can't make money. You know that.
You know, that's not true. It depends on what the cost associated with
you
the venue
are. You can't make money at 13.
What do you need?
You can float. Because they're only doing 13 now, you can float even.
They're not doing 13 now, and you can't make money at 13.
What do you need in a stadium? Does it have to be all sexy and modern, or do you just need a couple grandstands and places to sell some hot dogs?
Oh, you know, for a short period of time, you know, that can work. Look at McGill, it became a hot spot by accident.
There was grass growing through the stands, if I recall correctly, at McGill.
And then they cleaned the place up and added 5,000 seats, and they haven't sold out since.
But, you know, every other... Wait a second. They haven't sold out since, but... They added more than 5,000 seats.
No, it was about 5,000.
No,
from the first,
okay,
the first
they had
renovation
two, they had
got
two
them
renovations,
to 20.
Right?
First renovation
right
got them to 20, and
right
the second one got them to 25.
Correct.
So and they sold out at 20,
and they're making money.
Ask Wettenhall. Wettenhall says they aren't. Wettenhall says he loses $2 million a year.
I don't buy that.
Well,
not with the new television contract.
Yeah, you call
not
him
with the. That's what he told you. He lost $2 million a year.
He says he's losing $2 million a year. Can't make money. Can't make money.
With 20,000 plus in the stands.
That's about what he's got, about 20.
With the new television contract.
How much a beer cost? $5?
He's only getting a percentage of that.
People pay 10 there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but he only gets a percentage of that. I mean, if he makes 15-19% on the F&B, it's a big deal. Anyway, look, I think someone's going to come forward, and I think there's going to be a lot of...
You know, I hope you're right.
And I also think...
Well, I think you're crackers.
The government does not want to see this Canadian institution fail.
Of course they don't, but they're going to do nothing about it. They've never done anything before. They're not going to do it now.
They should have took some of that Grey Cup money.
When this league was on the verge of failure, this league had to go to the NFL to get $4 million loan. Not to the Canadian government wouldn't give it to them. Ontario government wouldn't give it to them. The municipality of Toronto wouldn't give it to them. They had to go to the National Football League to get a $4 million loan.
If they come into a crisis like this where losing this franchise could have a domino effect on the entire league, do they go to the NFL and say, okay, we're your best bet as a developmental league?
Well,
after spending $500 million over in Europe?
Maybe. First of all, I think that's where we're going. I know you don't. I think we're going to something completely different that we've never seen before. We're going back to an 8-team CFL with no team in Toronto. Now, we had no team in Montreal for a decade or whatever it was. No team in Ottawa a couple times. But we're going to have no team in Toronto. I don't know whether it works or whether it doesn't work. I know the people in the West don't care. I know the television numbers might be affected, and there could be an economic downturn because of that. But I see no salvation for the Toronto Argonauts. Nobody's going to put money into them. Nobody's going to build a stadium. If you just had to buy the franchise and you could get it from Brayley for $1, you wouldn't buy it.
Not in that stadium, no.
You wouldn't buy it. So it doesn't matter what you pay for the team. You still have to have the do-re-mi for a stadium, and nobody's going to help you.
I don't think it's a new build. I think they'll find a solution to it.
Whatever it is. Well, what's that? Are you going to play in a parking lot?
No.
people, are they going to play at night in a parking lot and people are going to drive up and leave your headlights on?
Again, I keep going back. Something will happen to BMO. They'll look at Varsity. They'll look at other options out there. They have not scoured the earth yet.
Well, when do they plan on scouring? Because you know what? I got
news
for them.
Because they're in a deal. I know. Time is taking. They're in a deal that thought was going to happen, Bob. So now it's desperation time.
I'd say it is. I think it's past desperation time. Well, is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
No.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Anything else you want to yell at me with, Bob?
Well, it depends on what you say. I only yell when you're
wrong.
Stupid.
Or opposing your opinion.
Which over the 30 years that I've known you has become a regular occurrence. Gary Bettman has decided no ads on jerseys. Good for him. There's not a lot of things that Bettman does that I like and I approve of, but I like this one.
But you know what? It's inevitable. And I think Gary just doesn't want to be the first.
Well, I think that's right.
Yeah, and I think, you know, are the TFC
See, they're fan, ignoring are, the CFL.
Are the TFC fans very upset that there is a logo that BMO's on the front of the jersey?
Well, no, but it has history.
No. And
it,
EPL,
has it has history in soccer.
Right. And Chevy paid $37 million to be on Man U.
How's that working out?
Well,
have they won a game yet?
Well, but still, the value's there. NASCAR?
Why hasn't it happened in one of the big four leagues yet? Why are people so afraid? You know, it makes sense.
It's
the holy grail.
They are going to have to do it eventually.
Yeah, people
are running out
care.
Of new
no,
ways.
Don't.
Yes, they will, Bob.
They don't have to.
You know why?
They have
will.
To not do it.
They will do it.
Go look at the NASCAR they folk. Will they love it.
It's on practice jerseys already. The WNBA is wearing it. It's the first step
the
in the
WNBA.
Door. Well, wait a second. But for the NBA, it's the first step into the door. Believe me, it will happen. When you're looking at $4 to $7 million a team,
I pray it doesn't happen.
It will happen.
And once it does, boom.
You know what?
Everybody's
and why hasn't it happened? People, it's too close to the heart of sport. Literally, it's the commercialization of sport. And you know, we're going to pretend that we don't see the rink boards. You know, we don't see the vomitory signs yet. It's you can't put it on a jersey?
The jersey
really?
Is sacrosanct.
The jersey isn't sacrosanct.
It is sacrosanct.
Well, CFL's got it on it right now. They've got patches.
Yeah, that's great. They're a big league.
EPL isn't a big league.
Yeah, but it has an historical reference. It's the same as NASCAR.
What do you mean?
As long as you and I can remember, NASCAR's had logos all over their drivers. As long as you and I can remember.
10 years from now, they'll say that it has a historical reference.
As long as
reference.
You and I can remember, the Premier League and other soccer has had sponsorship on it. It's plus 20 plus years.
You know, you sell more jerseys this way too, because then you get the ones with the ads or the originals without the ads.
That's right.
There's more money there too.
You know what? I think it's inevitable. I don't think any North American league wants to be first, and that's why they have stopped, you know, short of doing it. But I think the NBA is taking that first step, and I think it's just a matter of time.
I think there's a kickback coming, and I think the National Football, what's happening in the National Football League right now is waking a lot of people up. A lot of people
look what the sponsors are saying already.
Sponsors were about
sponsors
to, were ready
little
to bail
beer
on
company
Minnesota.
Had something to say. Yeah. The beer goes a long way.
Well, beer,
yeah.
Visa,
Budweiser, Nike,
yeah.
All ready to bail on the Vikings.
Well, now, maybe already to bail on the Vikings, not on the league contract. And you know what? They've all said where they wanted to, first of all, it's positioning. They wanted to show the fans that, hey, we're really upset with this. But do you think Budweiser is going to walk out the door?
Probably not.
Not a chance.
But here,
not with those television numbers. And did those television numbers go down this weekend?
No.
Not a chance.
Do you think Budweiser becomes the number two selling beer in America if they're not on NFL football?
Over time.
I remember when Miller was the primary sponsor of NFL football.
Over time, it will erode into the brand.
Nah.
You want to talk about branding. I mean, where I'm from down east, we grew up on the vitamin K, Alexander Keith. Yeah. You got down home now because of branding for the last 10 years, and it's another brand has totally taken over Atlantic Canada.
Right.
And that was sacrilege to drink anything other than Keith.
Yeah.
But it has its effect. But I would have loved to have been in that meeting last night with the Vikings, because when's the last time you saw a football team or any major sports team make it such a huge decision at 2 a.m., at 2 in the morning? That's pressure. That's pressure when they're going.
Well, the ownership of the Vikings, they're
handled this thing.
They're borderline criminals anyway.
they've handled this thing poorly from a league level.
Oh,
from,
are you
from
kidding?
A, from
they
a
did
team
it
exa- level.
They didn't handle it poorly. They did it exactly the way the NFL handles everything, with an arrogance that is so repulsive, I can't even tell you. And you know it is, too.
You know what?
They are
look.
They are repulsive. And if they get their heads handed to them, we should all stand up and applaud. It would be so deserving and about bleeping time.
Well, you know what? Look, they've been publicly bitch slapped on this. And I think that they're paying
more to come.
Well, and there's more to come. And I think they're backpedaling and trying to cover as best they can. But I can tell you this, that the pressure that the sponsors bring to bear, they won't be leaving. There'll be a lot of talk, but no one will be leaving.
Well, it would have been interesting because all the sponsors said that they were going to bail on the Clippers last year.
Right.
Now, we never got to the point where those sponsors actually had to make that decision because the players stood up and said, we're not going to play.
Air Canada was going to bail on the NHL if they didn't do something about cheap shots after the Pacioretty Chara thing.
And Anheuser-Busch didn't even say they were going to bail. They just said, we're concerned, and we don't. This doesn't go over well in the Anheuser-Busch family. They didn't even say, hey, we're thinking of getting out. They just kind of put it out there. We don't like this.
Yeah, it's called posturing.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah, it did work.
Well, how nice of you to be here.
A full 36 minutes as well.
Oh, I feel like I've got to go to my room now.
You've got to have a nap now, probably. You're all tired, you old man. You know? You haven't had this much exercise in about 20 years, have you?
Okay.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks. It's always good to be here.
Don't forget, Darren Marshall's coming up later on.
Yeah, right.
We'll see how
it's
good he is.
One. See what he says.
See what he says.
Okay. Do I get to stay, Bob?
6:20 if you want to hang around. You got a TV show to do, don't you?
Yeah, 10 tonight, yeah.
Brian and I got nothing to do.
Yeah, I have to keep working tonight. It's tough.
It's a tough life out there.
I know. Squeezed in 18 today. Come out, work.
I squeezed in 15.
Did you? Yeah. How are you hitting it?
Sideways. That's why I only played 15.
Oh, there you go.
15 got back near the clubhouse, and I said, I think it's time to go in.
Yeah. I played a good 16. 17 and 18, not so much.
That's way more information than anybody wanted. Our sports business analyst, Brian Cooper of S&E Sponsorship Group.
You got it right, Bob.
It's the first time, isn't it?
It is.
It's a crappy name for a company.
That's
terrible. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Prizes like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Rid of that idiot. Now we can say what we really mean.
I like Brian.
Brian's one of my closest friends. I've known Brian since 1984. It's like 30 years we've known each other. Not 84, 82. 1982.
Idiot's a term of endearment for you.
Sometimes.
I can't, you've called me a moron, I think, but I look forward to you calling me idiot for the first time.
Well, it hasn't not happened purposefully.
Thanks, Bob.
I just haven't gotten around to it.
Thanks, Bob.
You're here long enough, it's an inevitability.
I'm just impressed you know my name.
Steve, I've known your name since day one.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
So.
Thank you.
I just don't see an end game to this. I don't want to dwell on it because we spent 40 minutes almost.
The Argos?
Yeah, I don't. I hope, and it's not. I'm not one of those guys who wants to crap on the Argonauts. I've never done that. I've ignored them in the past when I think they're doing stupid things, like the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never crapped on them. I'm a fan. I like the league. I like the brand of football. I don't believe it's inferior to the NFL. I think it's different from the NFL. I like going to games. I've had two of my closest friends have become the president of the Toronto Argonauts, interesting enough. Brian Cooper and Keith Pelley. Mm-hmm. And both, I think, did it for about 3 years. Two very close friends, David Sinnemann and Howard Sekulowski, owned the team. I mean, I have a history, an attachment. I used to, my roommate in the early 1970s was Dick Thornton, who was a defensive back for the Toronto Argonauts, Tricky Dick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was in the Argonaut dressing room, in the early 70s with Corrigal and Stillwagon and Mousy Brown, Mel Prophet, and Bill Simons, Joe Theismann, all those guys, Leo Cahill. Leo Cahill and I were pretty close for a long period of time. So I got a long history with the Toronto Argonauts.
Do you have a soft spot for the Argos?
But I'm also a realist. And what is happening now has never happened before. I've seen all these ups and downs. I remember Harry Ornest. I remember them, you know, with ownership woes. Guys with no money couldn't make things click. All the BS that Sinnemann and Sekulowski went through before Braley took the franchise. You know, I was involved in a lot of that stuff. I was on the board for the Grey Cup in 07. When was it? 08. So I never saw this.
Why has it come to this? Is it as simple as the stadium?
It's real simple, yeah. Well, you mean their attendance woes and economic woes?
Yeah, how have they gone from, you know, everybody in Toronto was a Leafs fan in the winter and an Argos fan in the summer to this, to where we are now?
Years ago, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, now you know I'm not short on opinions on things.
That's why I tried to get you going right now.
Some years ago, the then commissioner of the Canadian Football League called me at home and said, I want to get together with you. I want to pick your brain on how you fix the Toronto Argonauts. And I said, well, I'm happy to get together with you. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I've thought about this for years, and I don't have any answer. I didn't have an answer for, not that Pelley asked me, but Sinnemann and Sekulowski asked me, you know, from time to time, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
I said, keep doing what you're doing, I guess. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how you fix this. I don't know if this is a residue from the NFL talk. I mean, this team has done zero marketing this year.
Yeah, you don't even know the games are on half the time.
When do the Argos play next?
Don't know.
No idea. When's their next home game?
Couldn't tell you.
No idea. And we're not, folks.
No, I'm not just making that up.
We're not making that up. We don't know. Do you? Unless you're a diehard Argo fan, and there aren't many of them, you don't even know.
No, you have to work for it. And there's obviously ways to find out, but it's kind of like being a hockey fan in, I don't know, Mexico. You can find out the info, but you got to work for it.
And most people aren't inclined to. Yeah. I mean, this talk about the NFL coming to Toronto, I mean, has not helped. Has not helped. Why was MLSE interested in buying the Toronto Argonauts, at least kicking the tires on it? Because they thought two of their owners were going to be involved in an NFL franchise. And if you buy if you get an NFL team for Toronto, the guy who does, I don't think it's ever going to happen, but if it does, part of the deal always has been you buy the Argos, and whatever it costs to run the Argos, you run the Argos.
Right, you save the day.
You're not going to kill the CFL. You're not going to kill the Toronto Argonauts with an NFL team. You got to prop them up. I've talked to prospective NFL owners here, and I mean, it's always been, you got to do that. Well, the NFL's not here, and the Argos are running out of time. I cannot tell you who would be dumb enough to buy them.
I don't know if anyone would buy them for a dollar. I honestly don't.
I wouldn't buy them for a dollar, and even if you got them for a dollar, forget that you're going to lose money the next 2 years. What are you going to do after 2 years? Now you have a team that's losing money and is homeless. Kenny, you back tomorrow?
I am. 5 to 7, Bob.
Oh, it's an ever-changing schedule. Ken Reed, Brunt will be in here in a bit. It's prime time.